And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh Radio program. I've got my morning face on here. Smile. There we go. Hey, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We have a place for you in the body. We have a place for you that you can grow into serving and developing into all that God wants you to be. So thank you for choosing to spend the next half hour with us here as we journey through the Word of God. Right now we are going through a study on that believers should be inspired, and that means that God breathes on us, God breathes in us, and what happens when God breathes. That's really what we're looking at here, and we're going to be in Ezekiel 37, verse number 11, as our starting point today. Do want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. They have been providing professional sales and services and repairs throughout Brevard County. They're based in Rockledge, but they go all throughout the county. They service air conditioning problems, meet heating needs. I don't think you're going to be needing the heater a whole lot. I'm praying for cooler days, as long as we can get them, but I have a feeling your heater is going to get a few months off. But also electrical problems. They've been doing that, like I said, for over 40 years, getting close to 50. And they work in residential settings. They work in light commercial settings, even provide emergency service when necessary. They have people on call, and they strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538. So when you find yourself in need of their services, you can call 321-632-9538. Say, hey, I heard about you on the Refresh Radio program. I'm looking for an honest air conditioning repair company. Can you come out and take a look at our unit? And Pastor Bob says hello, and that would be greatly appreciated. Wyrick Air, Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. So we are going today to Ezekiel 37. We should be wrapping this up today. Verse number 11 is when Ezekiel hears from God as to the explanation of everything that has gone on in verses 1 through 10. So this is what he says. Then he, capital H, meaning God, said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, all my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So let's go back to the beginning of this. Where God says, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say. The first thing that I will point out to you today is that God pays attention to the words that we speak. He's listening to them. And it's very important that we speak in line with God's perspective rather than creating a reality that God has no interest in us living in. So you can talk yourself into being depressed. I know, I've done it. You can talk yourself into being in a bad mood. I know, I've done it. You can also talk yourself out of a bad mood. I know, because I've done it. So we need to make sure that we do not create a circumstance or an environment, an atmosphere in our life that doesn't reflect what God is able to do in that situation. The fact that there was a valley of dry bones that represented the entire nation of Israel was a reality that was created because they weren't listening to what God had to say about the circumstances. So he said that indeed, because they say, it doesn't have the word because there, they indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. And so there was a desert-like condition that permeated their entire existence all the way down to where it was impacting their skeletal structure, their foundation as a society, foundation as an individual. Because of the dryness that they were going through, their hope, their confident expectation was no longer working for them. It was, our hope is lost. And it says, and we ourselves are cut off. So death is when we are cut off from life. And God does not want you to be cut off from that. He wants you in a vibrant relationship with Him and thriving in that relationship. So I pray that you do not make the same mistake that the nation of Israel made, and that is that because of the things that they said, because of the priorities in their schedule, because of the activities and the neglect of certain activities in their life, they found themselves cut off from the source of life. But even in those conditions, dry bones, no hope, cut off from life, there was still a second chance with God. So even if you find yourself in those situations, today you have the opportunity to repent, call upon God, because the miracle-working God has been paying attention to what you say. He's fully aware of the reality that you find yourself in and wants to address that reality and transform it into the reality that He wants to exist, not the one that we have talked ourselves into. So the solution is the prophet Ezekiel, and God instructs Ezekiel, therefore prophesy and say to them. So we find ourselves having to make the choice between speaking for ourselves or hearing what God has to say about our situation. We can either speak and create a hopeless mess, or we can listen for what God has to say and watch Him bring us back from a hopeless, lifeless situation. I know that God can resurrect marriages because I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do it not once, not twice, but three times. Not me personally. We're coming up on our anniversary here in a little bit. But we've not had any breaks in that marriage, but I've known people who God has brought them through multiple really challenging moments in their marriage, and they ended up being inseparable. God did such an amazing work in them that people would stop this couple and in a shopping environment and say, "Y'all look so happy. You know, can you tell me what your secret is?" And it was, they would take that opportunity and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and those people would end up coming to church. So God can resurrect marriages. He can resurrect your health. He can resurrect you spiritually. And so verse number 12, it says, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God." When God speaks, he carries weight. He carries influence. There used to be an old commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, when God speaks, he's got a lot more substance to his conversation than what we have about ours. He says, "Oh, my people. Oh, my people." Do you have friends that are really excited to be around you when things are going well, but when things aren't going so well, you couldn't find them if you had a GPS locator or an Apple, what is that, iTag or whatever. You couldn't find them if they had an ankle monitor around them. Say, we're behind you. We're way behind you. Well, God speaks to his people at the lowest point that they could find themselves in. And he says, "I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your grave." Do you know why God called Lazarus out of the grave? It wasn't because he had messed up in not getting there on time. That was what Mary and Martha and them thought, but that wasn't the reality at all. Jesus waited where he was until Lazarus had died, and by the time Jesus gets there, he's been in the grave 4 days. They said, "If you had only been here, if you could have just made the trip quicker." Jesus doesn't weep because Lazarus is in the grave. He knows what he's getting ready to do. Jesus is weeping because the people, they're really not that close to the faith level that God wants them at that point in time. He calls Lazarus out of the grave because he had said in Ezekiel 37 he was going to call people out of the grave. Called him out by name. There was some commentator that said that if Jesus had not specified that it was Lazarus to come out and he said come out of the grave, that all of the saints would have come out of the grave. And by the way, if you want to go back, you can look in the Gospels and see that there were, it wasn't just Jesus that was raised from the dead, but there were many saints that were resurrected and began to walk about the city telling about the goodness of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus prophesied. He said, "I am going to call you, I'm going to call those places where you are cut off from the land of the living, I'm going to open them up, and I'm going to cause you, I'm going to make you do something you don't have the power or the ability to do in yourselves. I'm going to bring you out of that place of death, back into that place of life, and I'm going to restore you to the land of Israel. I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel." You see, that had been a promise of God to Abraham, that land was going to belong to the children of Israel. God doesn't forget his promises. He didn't do it in Bible times. He's not going to do it in your time. And verse number 13 ties in with verse number 6. He says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves." Okay? So there it is again. Everything that God does is so that we will have a personal encounter with his lordship, not just his position as Savior, but to know him as our Lord. So he says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves." That's the first revelation. There's two more revelations two more aspects to this revelation that God is going to do in their life, showing that he is the Lord. By the way, this is the third of the references of cause. In verse number 2, God caused Ezekiel to walk around the valley of dry bones and assess the situation. In verse number, Let me find my notes there. In verse number 5, it says, "Surely I will cause breath to enter into you." That was the dry bones. And now he says, "I'm going to cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." So if you've listened for very long, you will understand that people have natural giftings. My son in fifth grade could throw a baseball harder than I could, harder than I ever could. He had a natural giftedness when it came to that. And I would imagine he probably throws even harder now. He never really was that much into baseball after sixth grade. He was like, "I'm done with this," because of some things that happened that year on his baseball team. So, but he found other areas in which he excelled. He had some natural abilities there. But God can cause you and I to be able to do things that don't require our giftedness. It requires his omnipotence. So when you are looking at a situation, do not restrict yourself to your own abilities, your own knowledge, your own awareness, your own strength. Say, "God, what can you enable me to do in this situation?" So he said, "You're going to know that I'm the Lord when I open your grave. When that place of death has suddenly become a place of life, you're going to know that it wasn't you that did it, it was me." He said, "O my people, and brought you up from your graves." Verse number 14, "I will put my spirit in you," capital S. He says, "I'm going to cause God the Holy Spirit not to be around you, but to be in you." You see, God is looking to be the core of our life. The Bible talks about the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us. What a picture. I told my church, I said, "I'm not smart enough to figure out the process by which an infinite, immeasurable God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in all of his power, in all of his wisdom, in all of his vastness, I don't understand how he can be compressed to live inside this body of mine. But I'm sure thankful that he does. I'm sure thankful that he... There's a lot of things I don't understand the process of in the world. And I reap the benefits from somebody else understanding the process. And I don't have to understand the process by which God causes his Holy Spirit to dwell in a sinful yet forgiven individual and declared holy by the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, "I'm going to cause you to be able to live the way that God's always wanted you to live." The Holy Spirit is not supposed to be a tangential experience, something that you only touch on occasion. He's supposed to be involved in your daily life. He should be essential to our lives. Every once in a while, my wife brings up the conversation that all of our jobs were essential no matter what happened back in 2020. In our family, everybody that had a job was classified as an essential job. So if they'd cut everything off like they did in some states except for essential jobs, we would have still been essential. And the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that should be essential for us to live. He said, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. So the rest of that is pretty much a repetition of what he has said earlier. But listen to this. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. What was happening was God was calling his shot in advance. He said, this is what I want to do because this is the reality that my people find themselves in. It's unacceptable to me that they are in this condition. And so I'm issuing a decree from the throne. It's coming through the mouth of the prophet, and it is going to change their reality. I want you to know this is not just the words of a man. It is not just the imagination of a wishful human being. This is an utterance that is being spoken from the throne of heaven by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a declarative decree of which there is no appeal. He said, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Okay? There, you know, it sometimes I really think that the way that the court system is functioning in modern day and times is kind of broken in this sense that almost every sentence that takes place in a lower court gets appealed. You know, well, you didn't dot your I. Well, I'm going to appeal that to a higher court. You didn't cross your T. Well, let's appeal that too. I understand, you know, the need for that. There are human judges and, you know, the biblical standard for Bible judges was very high. Okay. You didn't make a judgment on how you felt. You judged according to the command of God. You didn't do it God's way. You aren't going to be in that job for long. And so I understand the appeal process through the court system, but please understand there is no higher authority, no higher power. There is no appellate system that goes above and beyond God. He said, I have spoken it. Okay. Understand, that's past tense. He said, you've heard what I've said, but now listen to what else he says. And performed it, says the Lord. Okay. So God says, the problem starts when you start speaking in a negative manner about my covenant people, forgetting that I'm the covenant-keeping God. I heard a person say, hey, stop talking bad about my spouse. Stop talking bad about my spouse. You know who they said that to? Their spouse. Their spouse. Husbands, you shouldn't be the number one critic of your wife. You should be her biggest encourager. Wives, you should be the biggest encourager of your husband. Parents should listen. We're called to train up our children. You can either use positive motivation or you can use negative, but I highly encourage you to use as much positive as you can. They're already in a world where they are being attacked over and over and over again. So I encourage you to build them up in their most holy faith. Build them up to know God. Build them up to know who they are in God so that they're well equipped when they go out into this chaotic and deceptive world that they live in. They need to know that you're not only their friend, you're there to train them up in the Word of God in the way that they should go. And so there's those spoken words, we need to make sure that we're speaking what God has to say, because God's listening to what we have to say. Well, I'll never be healed. Well, how about let's pray in the Word of God and say, God, you're the Lord, my healer. You're not only the Lord, my Savior, you're the Lord, my healer. Well, what if they don't get healed? Well, you know, I would rather have somebody praying for me. And if I'm right with Jesus, death doesn't get the victory. I'm whole in the presence of God if I've taken my final breath. So we need to listen to what God has to say, because God can transform a hopeless situation into a glorious situation. And he says, I'm not only speaking it. I encounter people all the time. They're really good at talking. They're not so good at doing. And so whenever somebody comes in and they start trying to impress me with their speech, they can talk well. I want to see if they can serve well. And I let the actions do more of the weightiness. And so God says, look, I'm not only speaking it, I'm performing it. And the reason is, I want you in the depth of your problems to know that I'm the Lord, I'm aware of it, and my arm is not too short to reach down and reverse the situation in a supernatural way. Because it's the Lord talking. You know, there are people who they want to make you feel better, so they'll say something, but they don't have the ability to make you better. God says, I have the ability to speak it before it happens. I have the ability to perform it. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am the Lord. I love you, and your future looks bright in my hands. Your future looks really good with my word prevailing in your life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I pray that you will find yourself doing a lot of listening about what God has to say to you, about what God says, how you should live, the things you can do, the things you are not supposed to do, and find yourself doing the things he wants you to, doing the things that are pleasing in his sight, and avoiding those things that are going to cause heartbreak for you. Let's find ourselves growing and understanding who the Lord is. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right
here
on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.